You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Our most loving relationships often start at the top of the mountain. They begin with the magic of romance. However, when the veneer of those early beginnings begins to wear thin, tensions inevitably surface. When we find ourselves with potent negative feelings as we react to our partner, we have two choices: to fight and then make up again and again and again, until all we have left to share are the cold remains of some unresolved pain. Or we could learn how to turn this kind of unpleasant encounter into a whole new kind of understanding, one that both illuminates and disarms the difference between our partner and us before it can escalate into a painful disagreement that no one wins. Some might even say love and relationships are the conscious crucible. So how do we work through conflict in a truly constructive way? How do we go beyond our anger and blame? Today we'll be exploring such questions with our guest, Guy Finley. Guy Finley is the founder and director of Life of Learning Foundation, a nonprofit center for spiritual discovery, and the author of more than 45 books on such subjects as relationships, success, addiction, stress, peace, and happiness. He also hosts online courses through Life of Learning's Wisdom School. Some of his books include The Secret of Letting Go, also The Secret of Your Immortal Self, Key Lessons for Realizing the Divinity Within, and Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. Join us for the next hour as we explore growing a healthy and fulfilling relationship with our guest, Guy Finley. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Guy, welcome once more to New Dimensions.
Thanks, Justine. I'm glad to see you and to be with you again.
It's my pleasure and honor to be with you as well. Guy, I would love to just go back a little bit for listeners who don't know anything about your work. If you could give us a kind of thumbnail of your spiritual path and how you became such a wisdom leader.
Well, I think the simplest answer, now that I've been talking about this for like 40 years, I was just born wanting to understand life from a place that no one could explain it to me. I mean, bottom line was, I knew that there were things that were wrong, upset, missing, nonsensical, and that I just wasn't satisfied with the answers that I was given by my peers, my family, everybody else. And it started when I was 6 years old. So my journey started as a boy, and then it just grew. I mean, I went through everything that everybody else does in a way. I had a very successful music career, for, I don't know, 15 or 20 years. And then sometime, I don't know when it was, actually, in late 70s, I was unable to find peace and contentment, having become a very profitable composer and performer. You know, first white soft rock artist on Motown Records, you know. There's a trip behind me, but it wasn't the journey that I wanted, or it was a leg of a journey that required, you know, a sharp right turn. And that's pretty much what happened. And by good fortune, perhaps by fate, now that I look back, I had a wonderful encounter with several very illumined men as my journey unfolded, starting at 18 and then later into my late 20s. And it just all led to me wanting to understand with greater clarity the pain and confusion that I could see in the world around me and mostly in myself. So that's really it, Justine.
So you've named your work, you know, you call it Life of Learning Foundation. I mean, that really describes your whole journey, is that you are a lifelong learner. And I guess you're still growing and still learning new things.
That's the beauty of relationships. Life is relationship, period. Everything about every moment, everywhere we are, everything we're looking at, everyone we're talking to, every thought and feeling that's coursing through the body, we are in an endlessly unfolding relationship with life. It is life that educates us by awakening in us certain feelings and discoveries, things that we see. And it is that process of life stirring, showing, realizing, and then releasing, so that we grow and we grow and we grow. And that's what relationships are for. Relationships are an instrument of revelation. Once we understand that, then there's no good or bad revelation, an important point.
You know, I know that you talk, and now we're getting into relationship, and this is really important, that you talk about how when we're in relationship, one of the things, the downfall, and where the tensions, we'll say, in that, is projecting on our partner that they're supposed to do things for us, that they're we make these expectations that maybe they don't even know about. Can you describe that, how that works?
Yes, and the thing that's so important to understand is I don't treat my partner, whether it's you across from the table here or my wife or my good friend, Chris. We treat everybody according to our understanding. That you can't treat somebody other than what the basis of your understanding is. And our basis now as human beings is that life is supposed to ensure I don't get disturbed. The weather is supposed to be a certain way. There's air is supposed to be a certain way. When I go into a restaurant, I'm supposed to have a table. When I'm in the traffic, there's not supposed to be any in front of me. When I look in the mirror, I'm not supposed to have a wrinkle. Our life is predicated on a host of invisible demands that an unconscious part of our nature has placed outside of us. We didn't create these demands, Justine. They have been fomented over time, culturally, religiously, financially, philosophically, so that we walk around without knowing it with like a complete book of how things are supposed to be. And that includes people. So that if you fill in what you're supposed to be in my life, I'm free, I don't have a problem. You step against anything that I expect, you don't give me the right respect, you don't look at me the proper way, you don't smile when I say something funny, we have a problem. But not because of what you've done, but because I've come into this moment of relationship bearing these objects of thought that are completely convinced that I cannot be content unless everyone and everything in it is exactly the way that nature imagines it to be.
Okay, so what you're describing, there's an Aesop fable that you describe in the book, Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. So in this, you're really describing that place that we are often with our partner, the lion and the bull, are having a fight, and then there's something in the tree. So can you describe that because this is helpful for people to remember what the dynamic is and what's going on.
The fable is a simple one. A lion and a bull are squaring off over a small patch of water, and both of them want a drink. Sitting in a tree, looking at the lion and the bull about to fight, is a vulture. And the vulture is smiling because it's going to win no matter who triumphs in their fight for the water. There's something in us that we're unconscious of that is an attendant in the moment to our relationships with one another. It, if you want to use these words, it profits when you and I fight, because that nature in each of us, every time we fight, look, when you, if you argue with somebody, if I argue with somebody, do I start with the idea that I'm wrong?
No, it's like I'm right and I'm going to prove I'm right.
That's exactly right. I start with the presumption based incidentally on a negative reaction that for the strength of my negativity I'm feeling towards you, that I'm right. And I might even think that I'm negative towards you because of how much I care about you.
But it's also, it can be also a fear. You're doing something that's causing me to really shrink in fear because it's something that I'm very afraid of for some reason. So fear can also be there.
Of course it is. And what we have to look at here is a certain understanding that this book is intended to convey to everybody. If I love someone, I can't want to hurt them. It is impossible. If I really love someone, I cannot want to hurt them. You know, I just had a flashback. What a trip. I should have put it in the book. I had the greatest dog in the world. His name was McKeever. McKeever was a madman, probably because he was my dog. And I remember one time I was in West Los Angeles, and I was doing some work at the time, and I had a Jeep, and McKeever went with me everywhere. And I told McKeever, you stay. Do not get out of this Jeep. It was open. And I had a good trust. Anyway, I come back, and he's not in the Jeep. And I'm panicked. I love this animal. I go running up and down the streets of West Los Angeles and find him in a shop eating something. He didn't have any money, but he begged it. I have to be careful about what I'm going to say now. I so lost my temper at McKeever and swatted him. And I remember as I was doing it, him looking at me, and I had the greatest shock, Justine. I knew that I was hurting the spirit of this animal, and I was powerless to stop myself. This was
I feel still in my teens, you know. Oh, I feel it when you're talking about it.
The point being that when we love something, we're not going to hurt it. When we hurt someone or something because of what happened, it is the vulture in us that is bringing this to bear. It feeds on negativity. It feeds on fighting.
So we'll talk more about that in just one moment. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Guy Finley. He's a spiritual wisdom leader, and he's the founder and director of Life of Learning Foundation. And his website, if you want to know more about his work, you can go to relationshipmagicbook.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with wisdom leader, founder, and director of Life of Learning Foundation, Guy Finley, the author of Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. And Guy, we were just talking about this very vivid and very heartfelt moment when you were with your dog and you had a realization as you were displaying some anger, and it was directed towards this innocent dog. So please, if there's anything else you want to say.
We can take this and then expand it into our human relationships. McKeever is a dog. You know, he saw something, he smelled something, and he's gone. That's what dogs do. And here I am, and ostensibly out of my love and caring for this creature, I hurt him. Now, in the world that we're in, that makes sense to us. And I'm saying that as aspirants, men and women who want to know something of a spiritual nature, we have to understand that when we really care for something, caring doesn't mean that we attack or hurt what we care for because it doesn't do what we want it to do. So McKeever, much to the subtitle of this book, he helped me wake up. That relationship with a dog helped me wake up. I wanted to punish him because of the amount of fear I felt over losing him. The task when a man or a woman, when partners meet, whoever they may be, is to start understanding. You are in my life to help me understand myself. You are a mirror for me. If I can work with you, if I can be with you, you're going to do stuff that's going to rub me wrong. That you can't help it. That's what you are and have become. I am equally someone who does and who has become certain things. And when you bring these two elements together, they are going to create friction. Ordinarily, we blame the friction on our partner. We're looking at a way to use the friction to produce an awakening in us to the parts of us that have come into that moment already ready to be rubbed.
Okay, so let's suppose here we are in that moment, and we're suddenly finding ourselves blaming our partner for something or angry with them for something. There's some emotion that's negative emotion coming out that we're projecting on our partner because they're doing certain things. So what's the key? What's the turnaround there? What is your advice of, as if we are conscious enough to be aware that, oh, I'm in this negative space, what do we do at that moment when if we're lucky enough to be aware?
Well, see, that's the first thing. It's so instantaneous, Justine. I mean, I've been working with men and women for almost 40 years, and our instantaneous reaction to someone who has, in one way or other, thwarted our wishes doesn't allow us, as we are right now, to think, gee, you've done this and now I'm projecting this on you. The instantaneous assumption is that you are at fault for my pain. What we're looking at here is a much deeper understanding. You're not responsible for my pain. You're helping me discover this pain is in me already. Then I understand I need to be, in this instant, maybe, do you know what the root meaning of the word patience is?
No.
To bear oneself.
So is that to reveal oneself?
No, to bear... To suffer oneself. That's the definition of patience. If we're truly patient, I don't look at you and try to figure a way to escape my pain by changing you. I suffer myself consciously. I don't speak the attacking words, the defending comment. I don't come at you with anything. Instead, my attention turns back round into myself, and I realize, in a manner of speaking, you didn't create this conflict in me. You're helping me to see this conflict was spring-loaded, and were it not for you, I would never awaken to the fact that this has been in me for millennia, because in one respect, it has been.
So you pointed that out really well in that moment with your dog, when you were punishing your dog for leaving the Jeep, and you suddenly had a moment, a flash of awakening that it wasn't the dog.
Well, so. Unfortunately, it didn't happen while I was doing it.
Okay.
It was not while I was doing it. I was carried away by a negative reaction. Afterwards, I'm in the Jeep, and I'm retrospectively looking at this event and realizing there's an incredible contradiction here. I love this creature to death, and yet I just poured out this venom on this poor animal that was just being what it is. How can a man or a woman who loves something or someone pour out that kind of animosity unless they are asleep to the amount of pain they're in already? See, this is the thing, Justine. We as human beings, we have almost no awareness at all of all of this baggage that we carry with us. These moments in our past where somebody that we loved and trusted, suddenly they've betrayed us. We don't know how to deal with that pain. All we know to do is to blame people who betray us, blame people who bring up this pain in us. We're looking at a way to begin meeting life through an understanding where instead of blaming people, we understand you are not responsible for my pain. I'm responsible to be conscious for it. And in using the moment to begin to let this thing teach me about what I have brought with me into this moment so that I can die to it, so I can let it go, so I can be released from my past, literally.
So there are a couple of things that come up for me. One is, when you were in the Jeep and you were retrospectively thinking about, oh, this didn't feel right, it felt bad, was that something that you then, Guy, were able to build on? Did that crack open your heart in some way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, we all have images of ourselves. I mean, spiritual people particularly have these, you know, rather extraordinary images that we have of ourselves. I mean,
it's grandiose.
It's just a fact, because we know so much. But knowing isn't being. And we're talking about a shift where we start to see this contradiction between how much I know about love and how little I'm actually able to give myself up in the moment where that's what love requires. Love didn't require that I punish that creature. Love didn't require that I get angry at the waiter. Love doesn't require that I become impatient with my best friend. Love requires that I see these things in myself, and when they're there, to give them up, suffer myself instead of make you suffer. That's what it means to really awaken. To understand, you are showing me myself. You're not causing me to experience this. And once I start to get that a little bit, there's no relationship you have with anyone, anywhere, that isn't just like a mirror that you get to see something that you have brought with you from your past into that moment. And for the revelation of that moment, are invited to release it because you see it no longer serves anything good, including you, let alone those you love.
So if you are in conflict with someone, you're having this argument and you're projecting, and then you remember, oh, wait a minute, what am I bringing to it? You have this brief moment of maybe pausing, I think you call it, take a pause. And there's something that you have that you suggest, the five words that you suggest. And that's like if you're with a partner and they're not getting it at all, they're kind of still in their stew of not being terribly conscious of any of this, but you might have a moment of
yes.
it. And then what are those five words that you share with us?
I'll set the stage for it.
Oh, please do.
All of us know what it's like to go out for a meal with friends. And all of us pretty much know when the ticket comes that we all have a tendency to look the other direction. Mm-hmm. I mean, because nobody wants to pay everything, but everybody feels like they should. And that, in a way, it's right. Anyway, at some point, someone will say, all right, I'll get this one. And what that means is that I'm going to pay the debt for all that has just unfolded in this restaurant or this place where we shared company and had a nice time. I'll be responsible for it. What we're talking about in this book, the five words are, this one is on me. This one is on me. Look, you want to be mad at me? I'm not going to return the anger. You want to be impatient? I'm not going to snap back. You want to blame me? I'm not going to defend myself, because I'm going to sit here in this moment and understand that love is the answer. Not intellectually, not because it appeals to an image or some appearance that I like to portray, but that if I can't accept in this moment the responsibility for whatever is unfolding between us. Look, when we're in a fight with somebody, we are 100% sure the problem is their responsibility. You have produced this problem. You have brought this thing to this point where the pain is now speaking for me. There's no such thing as a fight between two people that isn't between the pain that both of them have that's being revealed in the moment by the condition. The condition is the gift, so that when we say, this one is on me, I'm simply saying, I have seen enough about myself now to know that if I resist your negativity with my own, we're going to sit here and each of us find the other responsible for this miserable moment. You are not responsible for the misery I'm feeling. If I'm miserable, it's because I'm identified with and protecting something in myself that I didn't know was there until you helped me see it. Then you see, you're not my enemy. How can my wife be my enemy? How can my children be my enemy? How can anything, to tell you the truth, be my enemy? If I have love, everything about that moment is intended to bring about a transformation and in the character of the people involved. If my husband, my wife, my children don't want to change, can't change, I can still do it. I can still agree to understand you are helping me discover parts of myself that have been in my way. Then I change, and if I change, you will change, because I'm not giving you the same feedback. Now you're left with what you are and get a chance to see that. Then a couple, any human beings in relationship, can grow together.
I'm here with Guy Finley. He's the author of Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. And if you want to know more about his work, go to relationshipmagicbook.com. With the purchase of the soft cover, Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together, you can also get on the website a free download to accompany this book, the reading of Relationship Magic by Guy Finley, right, on the website, if you purchase the book on the website. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Guy Finley, and he is the author of Relationship.